Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live, and we're continuing our conversation with part two with Gerard Gibbert of Middays with Gerard. One of the most informative, super engaging talk shows is Middays with Gerard on Super Talk Mississippi, which is a statewide radio show where Mississippians can tune in every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And for the past 3 years, Gerard has been covering relevant topics from business and economic matters, social and cultural issues, personal inspiring stories, and his shows include a healthy dose of thoughtful analysis of state and U.S. politics, discovering top issues and stories of the day. Gerard says, as a common sense conservative, the content of his show is naturally from a conservative standpoint. However, he remains unwaveringly and equitable in covering any topic. Besides delivering a first-rate broadcast, Gerard serves on a variety of boards dedicated to a growing Mississippi economy. This includes the Madison County Economic Development Authority, Madison County Business League and Foundation, Innovate Mississippi, Empower Mississippi, and the Mississippi Lottery Corporation. As a philanthropist, Gerard serves on the boards of Canopy Children's Solutions and the American Red Cross of Mississippi. And in 2019, he was named the Heart Walk Chairman for the American Heart Association, Mississippi. He's hailed as a top 50 most influential leader in Mississippi, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist for 2015, 16, and 18, and Mississippian of the Year by the American Information Technology Professionals in 1996 and 2013. Gerard has also been recognized as a top CEO, most wanted, top 40, under 40, and in 2017, he received the ConnectWise. This is incredible. This is really fantastic. The nation's first ever innovation award. Isn't that amazing? He's a busy guy. So to have an opportunity to get 30 minutes with him for part two of our series is quite special. He's coming from Ridgeland, Mississippi, USA. Let's welcome Gerard back to the show as we have a lot of great things to cover. Gerard, welcome back to Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome.
Hey, Jim. Good to be with you today.
Very busy guy, huh? I thought I was busy.
Well, I kind of like it that way. You know, always got to be doing something and feel like that I just need to be contributing and producing for society, and in particular, as you could tell from that rundown, for my state, the great state of Mississippi, which I dearly love.
What inspires you? What is it about your desire to want to have your sleeves rolled up, to dig in deep, and to engage and inspire and uplift people, connect people, and make things happen for the good of everybody in Mississippi and even beyond? Where does that inspiration come from? Is it your upbringing, the family? Is it something that's just within you? Where do you pull your inspiration from to be able to get out there and do this heavy lifting that you do, Gerard?
Well, there are numerous drivers. I think that to start with my home state, Mississippi, I don't think it's any secret that outside of Mississippi, folks have a misconception about our state and our people. And having been born and raised here and being involved in a business here as a co-founder and CEO, I've seen the rich potential that our state has, and I just feel like that we have so much promise that is yet to be realized. And I just like to be involved on the ground and working with others and advancing good policy and really just promoting our state and telling the very positive story about our state. When I was on Wall Street pitching in investment firms, private equity firms, and the like for capital to fund our acquisition strategy, our growth strategy, you know, I sort of enjoyed telling the story of our company and its accomplishments, not so much from the perspective of my involvement in it, but from the perspective of, you probably didn't think this was impossible in Mississippi, much less that a company like ours even exists there. But I'm here to tell you, we can compete with anybody, and we've got fantastic people, and we just need your help so that we can realize our fullest potential. The people of Mississippi are just good, and I like to see them thrive, and I want to do everything I can to help break down those barriers to allow them to reach their fullest potential.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and a couple of good football players from that state, the Manning family, Eli and Peyton and Archie, of course. There's a lot of pride,
exactly.
Mississippi pride for sure, huh?
Oh, no doubt. Our state is rich with athletic talent, but you probably know we're the birthplace of the nation's music, and the Mississippi Delta. What an incredibly rich history we have with musical performers. But honestly, we touch the spectrum of disciplines. We have so many accomplished individuals from the business community, from the performing arts. Authors, of course, you know who Eudora Welty and William Faulkner are, just to name drop a couple. But we just have such a diverse culture and a lot of intersection among those different demographics and cultures. And I think that's one of the things that makes our state so unique and so great.
You know, besides doing the radio broadcast, you also serve, as I mentioned, on a variety of boards dedicating to growing Mississippi's economy. Tell us about being a part of the boards and the importance of that and the pleasure you derive being so immersed in that community.
Yeah, so the first thing I should point out is that none of those boards are compensated positions. This is just a way that I feel like I can give back to my state and give to the communities in my state, and in particular in this Madison County area in Ridgeland, as you mentioned, where I reside. But I feel like that the state has been good to me, and it has. It's provided a great quality of life for myself, my wife, my family, many of the folks that work for my company in the state of Mississippi. And so I feel like I'm sort of obligated to give back in this capacity. And I think bringing to bear to these various board seats that I hold, all the extensive business experience and background, I think is extremely valuable, and it is well respected in our state. Folks that have accomplished things in business the way we have do command a certain degree of respect, and I think we bring just lots of skills that many of these organizations really need to help guide them as they work towards their mission. One in particular that I'll talk about that just happened, we're extremely proud of. I serve, as you talked about, on the Madison County Economic Development Authority. I joined that board, was appointed to that board back in 2018. And what a great run that we have had. But most recently, as in this past January, just 2 months ago, an announcement was made that Amazon Web Services, AWS, is going to invest $10 billion in hyperscale data centers on two sites in my county, Madison County, and the Madison County Economic Development Authority really were the ones that drove that project, and then ultimately that made its way to the governor's office when we got to that point. But the work on that began in earnest in 2019, and we literally just got the deal consummated and announced, and it's all over AWS's website as well. But this is the largest single capital investment in the history of the great state of Mississippi, coming from Amazon Web Services right here in my home county of Madison. This will transform the state of Mississippi. I fully believe that. And it won't only benefit just Madison County, but it's going to benefit the entire state. There's no doubt the outgrowth that will emanate from such a massive investment, the jobs that it will create, this is going to put us on the map. And the feedback we have received from the AWS team has been phenomenal. They've been so complimentary of the Makita, the Madison County Economic Development Authority, the state of Mississippi, the governor's office, the Mississippi Development Authority, just everybody with whom they've interacted. Couldn't be more pleased with that experience. And I'm just so proud of my state and my county for landing this deal. And the good news is that our phone's starting to ring a little bit since this announcement. There's some other major global players in that arena that have started to call around and say, hey, what about us? You know, they're seeing what AWS is doing here in Mississippi. This is absolutely puts us on the map in a big way in the cloud services, and I believe in the artificial intelligence revolution.
Mm, that's amazing. That's really quite exciting. I think that's fantastic. You know, you've received quite a few accolades for your efforts. Top 50 most influential leaders in Mississippi, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, finalist 2015, 16, and 18, Mississippian of the Year by the Association of Information Technology Professionals in 96 and 2013, and recognized as a top CEO, Tech Most Wanted, top 40 under 40 in 2017, ConnectWise IT Nation's first ever innovation award. Congratulations on all of that for your efforts, Gerard.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's great to be recognized, but of course, you know, behind any kind of major recognition like that, Jim, are just a whole lot of people that put you in that position. And that, of course, starts with my wife of 43 years coming up this July. It's not easy being married to an entrepreneur, especially one in an evolving industry such as IT. You got to remember, when we started the company back in 1986, believe it or not, the personal computer was just five years old. There was no internet, no email, no voicemail, no smartphones, none of all this technology that we enjoy today. And, you know, I'm proud to say we had a vision and we kind of blazed the trail for all this and what we were doing. We were pioneers, so to speak, but certainly it starts with my wife, with the fantastic team we had in our company that enabled us to thrive and succeed and put me in position to secure these awards. Really, the credit goes to them, and I couldn't be more proud of what we've accomplished. And again, I just want to call attention that those distinctions, some of which, of course, extend outside of the borders of Mississippi for a Mississippi company, that really makes me feel good because I think we have a great story to tell, and this is just a little snippet of it.
That's really amazing. It truly, truly is. And then with the show, you get a chance to really talk about a lot of different issues and a lot of exciting things, right?
Yeah, that has been an absolute blast. I'm very fortunate in that respect. And that evolved as a result of the individual who hosted the show in that time slot for a number of years. He became ill, and this was in 2020 time frame, and was unable to continue his duties as a full-time host. And I was just approached by management of this organization, which, by the way, is unique in that it is a statewide radio network. There are not many, if any, other states that actually have a single company that has a statewide broadcast off-air footprint. And Supertalk Mississippi absolutely does. And so my voice is heard on this show on a statewide basis every day, 10 to 1. The individual became ill. I had been a guest on his show, and there's another statewide show in the 6 to 9 a.m. time slot as well. I'd been a guest on that show. And management, I literally saw him in a restaurant one night when the other host became ill. And they said, look, you know, you've always been a good guest. You seem like you've enjoyed it. Why don't you try your hat at just guest hosting? See what you think. And I did, and that kind of led to guest hosting for like a day a week, and then that went to two. And then it ultimately became full-time in February of 2021. Sad to say that the individual who I was guest hosting for ultimately succumbed to his illness in July of 21, and then Labor Day of 21, the show transitioned and became Middays with Gerard, and that's where it's been since then. So we're really been doing this on a full-time basis now for 3 years as of January, this past January. Really enjoy that. It's been a blast, and it's well done. It's a great team. It's a great format.
What is the ultimate goal? Do you have an ultimate goal with it since you have put your own personal touches on it now?
You know, I really haven't thought a great deal about that at this point. I do enjoy serving as a host and being able to influence, honestly, public policy and move the needle. I interview on a regular basis members of the legislature, our statewide elected officials, our Washington delegation. So a lot of politics, especially this time of year when our legislature is in session. Usually not a show that doesn't have someone from the legislature or the high level in state government. Like, for example, today I had a state senator who serves as chair of the powerful Senate Finance Committee. He's also a good friend, and he was on today talking about legislation that he's working on and other legislation the legislature is taking up in general. And I have learned since I've been doing this that numerous members of the legislature do listen to the show on a regular basis. They've told me that they sometimes learn more from me what's going on down under the dome than they do by them just being part of the body. So sometimes I hear things they may not be aware of. So I enjoy that, and I do know that they do tend to pay attention to my views on a sensitive policy, and that sometimes will influence them. I also write articles on major policy issues, primarily that deal with state matters, and those get published at the supertalk.fm website. For example, I wrote one back in late October about our public employees retirement system, which is facing some financial headwinds, and I wrote a detailed article about that. And that's been consumed by most members of the legislature, including our lieutenant governor, our speaker of the House. And they somewhat use that as some input to addressing this issue. So I do enjoy that. I like being an information resource. I don't mind doing a lot of the research. I have the time to do that. And then kind of encompassing that in my thoughts and policy positions and trying to guide. There are a lot of folks that have talked to me about possibly running for high-level office in the state of Mississippi. We just had an election, a statewide elections in November, so we've got an incumbent governor that won a second term, but same for the lieutenant governor. They will both term out in 2027. Might that be something I take a look at? Sure, it could be. You know, a lot of folks have kind of prodded me and encouraged me. I very much appreciate that. If it looks like that's a place where I could help my state, I'd certainly strongly consider it.
That's terrific, huh?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's exciting. And yeah, it's not lost on me how difficult that task is and how, you know, when you put yourself out there in the political realm these days, you're obviously not going to be viewed favorably by everyone. So you're in the gauntlet. You have to accept that, and that's fine. It's, you know, I'm no stranger to dealing with tough issues like that. But if it looks like that I'm guided in that direction by the Lord above and my family and maybe some others that say we think you could help the state here, it's certainly something I consider. But right now I'm pretty happy hosting the show and doing everything I can to improve our state.
Which is terrific. Really, really is. So what's a typical day like for you with the schedule that you have?
Yeah. You know,
and is there a typical day? Probably every day is something different, right?
there is. I guess the first thing I would say, the show is 10 to 1. There are usually two guests Now, a full-time content director who's fantastic does all the guest scheduling. I typically find out who the guests are usually late in the prior day or sometimes it's into the evening, and that's usually because it sometimes takes just that long to get folks scheduled, to get everybody's schedules aligned where they can come on the show. So there's some prep involved in there, but, you know, I do my dead level best to keep up with all the major issues both in the state and then at the federal level as well, both political and cultural and just human interest issues. And I don't have a research department or a staff. I would be it. That's just part of the gig. So I'm sort of constantly in touch and monitoring and have notifications set on just a large range of information sources. I will typically rise at 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm laying in bed. I'm on my phone, and I'm going through all the email communication that I get, most of which is from these information sources. And I just start reading stories. And that, by the way, that includes, like, newspapers and from other parts of the country. The Boston Globe, like you said, I describe myself as a common-sense conservative. I found the Boston Globe to probably be the most left-leaning major city newspaper in the country. And I like to know, you know, what does the other side think? How are they approaching some of these major issues? So as an example, that's one I consume. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the New York Sun, the New York Post, Washington Times and Examiner, just as an example. I still consume lots of publications from the IT industry. I like to kind of stay current as much as I can on that. I just have still a strong interest in that. And then there are just lots of other information resources that focus on kind of cultural issues and what's going on in society in general. I also like to track what's going on college campuses. I find that to be sort of the epicenter for what is being thought about from a creative perspective and just kind of a new thoughts and views. And I like to track that and see what the college students are being exposed to. And I'll share a lot of that sort of stuff on my show.
That's terrific. Why do you love doing it? Why do you love doing what you do? It sounds like you wake up in the morning and you take on the day and you're poised to connect people. And even with all the craziness we've got going on in the last few years with just all the division and all of the stuff that's going on in every aspect of our lives, you seem to want to, like I do, you want to bring people and thoughts and ideas together, balance it out, and let's see how we can all come together to make a positive difference in all of our lives. It sounds like that's a big part of why you do what you do.
Yeah, that's perfectly stated. It absolutely is. And you asked me about the typical day, so that kind of gets me through the show. It just you sort of reminded me. I during the session, I'll spend a lot of time down at the state capitol. I live not far here in central Mississippi from the state capitol, downtown Jackson, Mississippi. And I'll spend a lot of time down there. I know virtually everybody under that dome. I like to kid with the lobbyists who are, of course, always in the halls of the Capitol and just policy advocates and others. I like to kid with them. You know, I'm the only one in this building that's not getting paid to be here. I don't have any financial motivation. I just want to make sure that we are advancing good public policy to help the citizens of my state and my state thrive, in particular from an economic growth perspective. I feel so strongly that that is the key to improving the quality of life. And so I'm motivated by that. I just want to see people do their best and have the opportunities to do their best. I want to see people that graduate from our young folks, our fantastic universities in our state, stay in Mississippi, and that means we've got to provide them opportunities. We've got a bit of a challenge with the brain drain here, can be solved by getting more companies like this big AWS project, which will provide opportunities for that. So all of that is important, and you know, I don't pigeonhole people. I don't get confrontational with them. If they don't agree with my philosophy or my worldview, I don't think less of them. But, you know, I do like to understand why they came to these conclusions or to these views. And if I think that maybe they're somewhat misguided, I'll try to start trying to persuade them with, you know, with facts and evidence. And so I like to do all this research. And if in any way I can sort of take that burden off people and inform them and enlighten them and educate them so that they can make good decisions and conduct their lives in a more productive fashion, then I feel like that I'm contributing to society. Gratification is really, I think, the word I'm looking for when I see other people do well. And if in some small way I can help them with that, I don't need credit for it. I get the personal satisfaction of just seeing them thrive.
There, you may have mentioned this during the course of the part one of our series, but I'd love to ask it for the folks listening today. Who are some leaders that you admire most?
From a political perspective, I think a lot of Republicans would tell you that it's Ronald Reagan. But I do think that he was a fantastic leader. But here's why. He was the quintessential optimist, you know, and anytime you saw him, you just always felt good and positive. And I hear so many people on both sides of the political aisle always kind of just mire in all this negativity and adversity and just so negative about everything. And I like to say this a lot. I say, you know, I think our best days are ahead. And they look at me like, what do you mean? I said, you have to believe that. I mean, if you want to realize good outcomes, you have to visualize and believe in good outcomes. And I looked to him and just thought he was fantastic. From a business perspective, I have deep respect for Jeff Bezos, who founded Amazon. He wrote a letter, I think his last year as the acting CEO, 2021, that I use when I speak a lot to various groups. I reference that letter he wrote. And he goes into excruciating detail in his letters, multi pages, of how his company produced value for society to the major stakeholder groups, employees and stockholders and third-party sellers and customers, vendors. It was just so well done. It's like, yeah, this is what business is all about. He took risks, and because of the risk he took, because of his brain power and his innovation and his creativity, he created so much opportunity for so many other different people across the spectrum of stakeholders, and he goes through the math in this letter. I mean, he quantifies the value that his company has produced, and I just thought that was fantastic. And that's the way we should all approach business, and I just have deep respect for him thinking about the value his business created. Now, people get mad, some do, at least on the left, because of the personal wealth he's amassed. But it's because he created so much wealth for all these other stakeholders, and that's the way it should be. It wasn't by accident. He produced that for his fellow man. And so I respect him. I respect Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan. He's awesome. I really do. I actually thought he might run for president. But he's just a guy that every time I see him speak, it's like he's telling the truth. He doesn't whitewash what he says, and he doesn't mind if he maybe ruffles some feathers of people that perhaps others would not dare to do. But he's just always objective. He doesn't deal with relativism. He deals with objective fact and reality. I like that. The former CEO of Cisco Systems, one of my big technology partners, a guy named John Chambers, he stepped down from that position about 3 years ago. Just fantastic. Got to meet him in person. What a great visionary and just a fair person and one I always felt like was focused on uniting people. So I have deep respect for anybody who can unite and not divide. It's so desperately needed in our country. And I try to learn from them and try to emulate that and do the same in my own state on a small scale.
Which is really important on so many different levels. Extraordinary conversation, and so happy we got a chance to chat with part two of this series, Gerard. I encourage folks to also check out the show. Then go to supertalk.fm and be able to direct your attention to the show, and that's via the SuperTalk app and, again, the SuperTalk website, both in audio and video formats. What's the name of the show?
Middays with Gerard.
That's right. Yes, that's right. I said that in the beginning. Great name, and I wish you a lot of luck with it, Gerard, and thanks for stopping by, not midday, but early afternoon here for us. You went from midday
Absolutely.
To early afternoon. It was a pleasure.
Really appreciate that.
I wish you continued success, and hopefully we'll chat some more down the line. You're doing extraordinary work to make the world a better place, and I know a lot of people are proud of you for the work. And come see us again, Gerard. It was a pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you.
Same here. Really did, Jim. Really enjoyed it. Appreciate you calling me today, and look forward to more. Thank you.
Absolutely. You be well, and thanks for being with us, Gerard. Give it a Middays with Gerard. Check it out on supertalk.fm. And again, he's quite the entrepreneur on so many different levels. Really a great guy. This was part two of our two-part series. Hopefully we'll chat more with Gerard, a very inspired person. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest from around the world right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.